As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host. As a business owner of an aquaculture company, what do you do to specialize in regulations to make sure you are in compliance with the rules? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Welcome to episode 9, season 7 of the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This episode, we're happy to have Tom Tompkinson, who is the regulatory specialist for Greg Seafoods BC and is part of the Young Salmon Farmers of the British Columbia Group. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So let's get the show started. And I wanted to ask you, since you're intimately familiar with the regulatory landscape governing ocean farming, tell us how that looks like.
So this can be a bit of a complicated process as we are regulated by multiple government agencies. For example, we have three different licenses that we have in order to operate. This means that we have a license of occupation, which allows us to access the land. So this is done under the Ministry of Forest. And again, like I mentioned, all the different agencies, this means we fall under different legislation as well. So that one falls under the Land Act. We also have aquaculture licenses as well, provided to us by the Department of Fisheries and Oceans. So they regulate the fish part of our license. We also have a navigational water permit under Transport Canada. So anything that is in a body of water that could potentially be an obstruction is we need to make sure that's all documented as well. So that alone, just to operate and have a farm, we need those three things. So that already starts off and can be quite confusing, and not to mention all the other permits that go along the day-to-day business aspects as well.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of things to remember. So I'm so happy that you're doing this, because I'm sure that it's crucial to navigate the intricate channels of regulation to ensure sustainable and responsible practices in our oceanic endeavors. So maybe you can tell us if you can provide us a comprehensive overview of the key regulations and permits required for establishing and operating an ocean farm.
For sure. Like I mentioned, we do have those three different licenses needed, along with other different day-to-day operational stuff as well. We do need licenses to transfer any fish. So for instance, if we're moving fish from our hatchery out to a sea site, or if we're moving them from a sea site to sea site, we need permits for that. And those do take some time as well. So it involves planning. We have radio licenses, surface water permits, effluent permits, electrical permits, boiler permits, building permits, all of you name it, we pretty much have it. So these all operate under different legislations, like mentioned as well. So different acts, like the Land Act. We have to follow Species at Risk Act as well. So again, very, very diverse regulatory world we live in.
How do you vigilantly get informed on changes in regulations with all of this, especially with policies related to our industry?
Yes, because as I've mentioned, it is a lot to keep under your belt. So we actually sign up for notifications. There's different websites, for instance, Transportation of Dangerous Goods will have websites and give us notifications if something changes in their legislation. So it's mainly being diligent in signing up for those notifications. And then I will also have like calendar reminders. Like if I know something was in the works or something's coming down the pipe, then I make sure I have a very detailed calendar of potential changes. Some changes are more predictable than others. When we change different legislations like the Lands Act, that definitely comes through notifications. But we also do have industry meetings with government agencies as well. So for instance, with DFO, if they have some plans to change conditions of license, we'll have meetings about that as well. So sometimes we are pre-advised as to stuff changing, and sometimes we find out as we go. So yeah, quite an interesting world.
So maybe you can give us some strategies you employ to guarantee compliance with the ever-evolving requirements of the regulatory framework. I can just imagine how your calendar looks like.
Yeah, so I'm very good at color coding. It's a skill I've picked up since university. I'm a very organized person, and it definitely takes an organized brain to be on top of regulatory. So for my company, I do create a lot of the operating procedures, especially when it comes to our conditions of license given to us by DFO or Department of Fisheries and Oceans. So when I build these SOPs, I like to keep in mind the people that are reading these instructions and make sure that it's easy for everyone to understand as well, so that I'm implementing that regulatory change properly. Just because I have to read it and stay on top of it, I also have to make sure everyone else in the company is informed. So that's another really big part of my job. It's not just making sure I know the changes, it's so everyone else does. So having to make sure that all of that is implemented properly, because our company obviously operates as a whole, so we need to be able to work out everything as a team.
And I can just imagine how helpful those SOPs are, because it's obviously paramount that we adapt also to the swift dynamic nature of these regulations for the harmonious coexistence between our ocean farms and the environment, for sure. Which leads me to my next question. Could you illustrate any instances where you have masterfully resolved regulatory compliance issues or skillfully mitigated regulatory risk in the context of ocean farming?
Yeah, I think just overall, if there was any regulatory issues or if something came across that needs to be reported, we do have a lot of procedures in place for all of that. Like as I've mentioned, I have created a vast SOP on regulatory reporting. So that's something that's really helped me excel and give my department just a hand. So if something does happen or just those normal reports, that we already know kind of what to do, what's going on. So that has been probably one of the biggest things that's helped me going forward and making sure that everything is done properly, diligently, and on time.
Perfect. So now I got all of my regulatory questions out of the way. Maybe I'll ask you some more questions in terms of how did you get into this? Did you actually sail out to actually have this career, or how did it evolve?
So I'm actually from Ontario. So I did a double degree in biology and physical geography. And unfortunately, nowadays, university is not really enough to put you out from the crowd. So I wanted to do something else that would make my resume stand out. So I looked for stuff that I was already interested in. I really liked water and I liked fish. So I came across a postgrad certificate in aquaculture. And I was like, oh, perfect. Two of my favorite things put together, and it had a co-op. So that was at Fleming College in Ontario as well. So from there, we obviously talked about aquaculture and what a wonderful world it is. And we're pretty much told from the get-go that a lot of people either go to the East Coast or the West Coast. There's just more jobs that way. So I was really fortunate to get a job out in BC. Moved myself out here, and I haven't looked back since. I started on a farm, which I found has been really astronomical in my job experience now, because I know what the day-to-day looks like out on a farm, because I've been there. And it really helps when I have to implement those changes to the farmers, that they already know kind of what they're looking for in terms of information. So that's really helped me there. And I eventually got myself into the office. And I think regulatory, I like it because when we get our example, for example, the conditions of license, it's a very specific set of rules. Like this is the threshold. You now have to do this. This happens. You now have to do that. I've always very much been a rules and instruction kind of person. So I think that's kind of what pulled me into this direction. And I'm so happy to be in this role that I am in now.
It's fascinating that you started in the farm too. So how long have you been doing this now?
It's been 5 years. I moved out in 2018. That's already been 5 years.
Congratulations. It's seldom I see young people really stay at one career, but it's good to know that you have like kind of a ladder that you look forward to. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's been a really big highlight. And for all of us young professionals kind of in this industry, is that a lot of us did start at the farm level, and there's been a lot of room for growth and improvement. And our companies have really helped support that as well, because they know obviously we're the future in this industry. And just being able to move up, see other young professionals move up the ladder as well, it's just something that just makes me happy to see. It doesn't happen in every industry.
Well, we're so happy that you're here because, as you know, we need individuals with a proven track record of problem solving and adeptness in traversing the labyrinth challenges of regulatory compliance with the realm of ocean farming. So what's next for you?
I don't see myself moving around anytime soon. I really love, like I've mentioned, I love this industry. It makes me so happy just when I get to go out onto a farm and see the fish and see all the happy people working. And I miss my time out on a farm. So I'm glad I still get to go out and visit for my job and just checking in. So I'm just going to keep plugging away. I'm really happy to be on that young professional group for BC Salmon Farmers Association. That's really helped me excel as well. And just getting together with like-minded people. And we have lots and lots planned going forward. So just really excited to see where this industry goes and see all the technology advancements that have occurred already in my past 5 years. Has been crazy to see the change. So I'm just really looking forward to what this industry brings.
So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the Young Salmon Farmers of BC group. What do you do there?
So this group started a few years ago, and it started with, so it's kind of like millennial leaders. It's us that are under 35, and we just represent kind of, we want to see that positive change and positive communication in our industry. We are finding that some of the times, if there was ever negative comments, that some of the ways they were directed, we just really wanted to reach out and be able to give an educational direction of some of these comments, because a lot of times people just aren't informed or they don't know. So just creating some social media pages ourselves and posting informative videos of what we do and what it looks like to actually be a farmer, because not everyone gets to come out and see what a salmon farm looks like. So just giving everyone kind of that bigger view of what we do and who we are, and just reminding their people that there are human beings behind these jobs.
I love how you said that, millennial leaders, and we certainly need a lot of those. So if there's one thing that you can change in the 5 years that you've been in this industry, what would that be? Is there something?
I think just inspiring other people. I also had the privilege of teaching actually this year at Fleming College. So I taught three of their courses to other young, like-minded individuals. And I found that was such an experience because it deepened my understanding of what I do, because I had to take a very, very deep dive. And when you're teaching, you need to make sure you obviously know what you're doing, because you're informing others. And just reaching out and really just inspiring others and helping people learn and grow, I think is something that I've really loved doing. And I'm definitely excited to be able to get to do more of that.
Oh, maybe you can expand a little bit more on that. So what are you actually teaching?
So I built and taught three courses. I taught a certification and regulatory course, which is pretty much my job. So that one was really nice. I really enjoyed that one. And it was for aquaculture throughout Canada. So our rules and regulations change depending where you are in Canada. So it's very interesting to see all of those details. For instance, like BC is very, very, very heavily regulated. And then depending on where else you go, obviously there's not as much aquaculture in some provinces than others. So it's just very interesting to see those changes. I also taught safety in aquaculture as well. I do really enjoy that one as well, because I'm part of our joint occupation health and safety committee for Grieg as well. So I do really value safety in our industry. So I taught that one. And then I also taught in operations and aquaculture. So kind of the day-to-day of a farmer. What does feeding look like? What does cleaning up mortality look like? The day-to-day stuff, all of that kind of stuff. How to operate a boat. So yeah, it was quite an experience putting all that together and being able to help people see what we do.
That sounds amazing. Are you teaching this online or in person?
They were online because it was Ontario. So it was nice because it was at my own pace as well. So yeah, it was just, I preloaded everything online and then just helped them along with quizzes and all that stuff for their courses.
That's so good. That's so good. Well, send me some more information on that. I certainly have some employees who I wanted to be certified in the regulatory realm of things.
Yeah, sure.
So my biggest takeaway from our conversation today, Sam, is when you were talking about millennial leadership, I haven't seen so many young people awake in the May convention that we went to. And so I'm so happy that I get to meet your group. And so thank you for being on the show. How can they get in touch with you?
We do have different social medias for that young professional group. So I can provide those after for you as well. So we have a TikTok, a Facebook group, and we have Instagram. So I'll provide you all those handles. So if anyone's interested, they can look for us. But if you search for a Young Professionals BC Salmon Farmers Association, you will find us.
Thank you very much for being in the show. Please remember to review the show and see you next week. Remember, you help build a home in the Philippines every time we launch an episode on the podcast. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.